We are indeed thankful for your presence. If you would, take your Bibles. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. We're glad for everyone's presence, especially those visiting with us. We want you to know that you encourage us by your presence here. And we pray that as we study God's Word together today, we can be of some encouragement to you. We've been studying a series of lessons about the promises of God, and we want to continue that series of lessons, and it's based on this text where Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We know the Scriptures are full of God's exceeding great and precious promises. Webster defines promise as one's pledge to another to do or not to do something. If I make a specific declaration to you, you have the right to expect for me to carry that out, to keep my promise. Now, we realize that with man does not always keep their promises, but God is always faithful. And the Scriptures inform us of this in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in verse 23, when it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." When God promises something, you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. He is faithful. And today, what we want to consider in regard to many of the promises of God is the promises of God in regard specifically to prayer. What does God promise us about prayer in His Word? That's what we want to look at in our study today. So if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me these passages as we enter into a study of God's Word about prayer. How should we pray? That's one of the first things we want to consider. And what does God's Word reveal about that? In Matthew, the 18th chapter, and verses 19 and 20, here it says, "Again, I say to you that if you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven, whether two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst." How should we pray? We should pray with reverence. We should pray with respect. And notice it says, concerning anything that we ask the Father. When we pray to the Father. We pray in the name of or by the authority of Jesus. So as we begin our prayer, we address the Father. As we close our prayer, we do it in His name. We want the things that we've asked to be according to His will. Also, when we pray, we need to consider what Mark taught in his gospel by inspiration of the Spirit. He records in Mark 11 and verses 25 and 26, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive them, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." So when we pray, not only do we have to pray with the proper reverence and respect, but we have to pray with a forgiving spirit. I have to be willing to forgive you. You have to be willing to forgive me if we both desire to have the forgiveness of God. We have to extend a forgiveness. And sometimes this is a difficult thing for us to do because people will harbor grudges or ill will toward others, and they'll store that up and they'll keep that for years, and they'll make the comment, you know, I'm never going to forgive them for that. So we have to be very careful in regard to being God's people and claiming His promises about prayer. If we want to receive forgiveness, we have to be willing to extend that to others. Also, when we pray, we need to do so with a sincere heart, speaking to God. Go to Matthew chapter 6. And there in the Sermon on the Mount in verses 5 and 6, Jesus instructs the disciples about prayer. Now there is prayer that is public and there is prayer that is private. And here he's addressing them in both ways. He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of streets, that they may be seen by men." In other words, they like to pray publicly so they can be seen, so they can be recognized. Oh, look how godly that person is because they are praying. But what did he instruct them? He instructed them, "But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Now we can pray publicly, but we shouldn't be doing it with the attitude of, "Oh, I'm wanting to pray publicly so everybody will think so highly of me." We need to pray publicly because we want to communicate with God and with one another in regard to our prayers. But we need to realize that our prayers do not need to be hypocrites. They do those things to be seen by men. Prayer is communication. Prayer is opening our heart to God and communicating with Him. We probably don't have any trouble communicating with someone that we love. Just take, for instance, a member in your family. You probably don't have a problem communicating. You don't have to really think about what you're going to say and how you're going to engage in a communication with one another. You love them. You know them. You feel free to speak in regard to it. That's the way we need to feel to the Father, that we feel that closeness and that we have that willingness to communicate with Him, that we're willing to open our heart to Him. Look at the example of Jesus in prayer. Go to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. Here, Jesus is in Gethsemane. He's there with His disciples. He's asked them to pray that they enter not temptation. He comes back and checks. They're sleeping. But He says, "Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Your will be done." The example that we need to learn in regard to situations that we face is to ask for God's will to be done, to pray according to His will. That's what Jesus was doing here in Gethsemane. We don't need to come to God demanding something of Him. "God, this is what You've got to do. This is what I want You to do." We need to pray, "God, if it would be Your will, let this be done. Grant this request in regard to certain things that we speak to God about." So Jesus emphasizes the importance of prayer and of praying according to the will of God there in Gethsemane. How we should pray is we should pray with a believing heart. We should not pray and be those who are doubtful in regard to our prayers. Look over in Matthew, the 21st chapter, Matthew 21, and verses 21 and 22. Go back up and read verse 20. "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Now Jesus here is talking to His disciples, to His apostles, but what He's telling them is, don't let doubt enter in to your mind when you're praying. Pray believing. Pray believing. Pray believing and believing that the Lord's will is what needs to be done. That's what needs to be accomplished. So that's what Jesus is emphasizing. Because oftentimes, if we are really doubtful when we pray that our prayer will be answered or that can be accomplished, What are we eventually going to do? Quit praying. If you're doubtful about your prayers, we need to believe when we pray. We need to have faith. We need to ask that for things in accordance to the will of God in regard to things we would request by prayer. So do not pray with doubt. Pray believing. Pray having the proper type of attitude. And then he says that if we have that type of attitude, then if it's according to his will, we can receive these things. Go over to 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to see how prayer and obedience are connected. Obedience is essential to our prayer life. In 1 John 3, look there beginning in verse 18. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and we ask, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because," why do we receive? "Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So we need to pray. We need to pray believing, but we need to also pray believing and having obeyed the commandments of God. And we need to understand that when we do that, that obedience and prayer go hand in hand. And the answering of our prayers doing those things that are pleasing in his sight are what commend us before God. So those are the attitudes that we should have when we pray. Pray with reverence. Pray with respect for God. And remember that obedience is essential, and it is connected to prayer. Now, the next question we might have is, well, does God actually hear and answer prayer? Yes, he does, according to the Scripture. Go over in your Bibles to the Old Testament and go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and look at verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Here is stated, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Did God promise to hear his people? Yes. But were there some conditions based upon which God would hear his people? Yes. God would hear his people if they would humble themselves and pray. Often, what did the children of Israel do? They rebelled against God. They hardened their heart toward God. See, we can't have that type of attitude, that type of response, and expect God to hear and answer our prayer. He says, "And then they must seek my face." Seek to do the will of God. Seek to honor him, respect him. How do we do that? By obeying him. And turn from their wicked ways. What does that imply that I need to do? That when I see sin in my life, I need to repent. I need to turn from that sin and turn back to Christ. So God promises to hear us today, but the conditions that God placed on his physical children are the same type of conditions we as his spiritual children experience also. So we have to follow the truth as revealed by God. Turn over to Psalm 145, and let's look there at Psalm 145 at verse 18. Does God hear and answer our prayers? Notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 145, verse 18. It says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." Well, Why is the truth important? Because you'll know the truth, and the truth will do what? It'll set you free. Where do you find the truth? In the Word of God. So if we're going to call upon Him in truth, we're going to have to be willing to listen to what God says. And if we'll listen to Him, if we will follow the truth, God is going to be near to those who call on Him in truth, who are applying that truth to their lives, who are striving to be examples of that truth. So actually those who are willing to trust and obey and follow the instructions of truth. You know, we sing a song, Trust and Obey. Well, what are we trusting and obeying? We're trusting and obeying Jesus and His Word, His instructions that we find for us in the Scriptures. Does God hear and answer prayer? Yes. But what must we be willing to do? And probably the thing that can be a major downfall to us if we're not careful. We have to be willing to ask. Philippians, the fourth chapter, in verse 6. Paul is writing to Christians at the church at Corinth. And he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Sometimes God doesn't hear and answer our prayers because we don't pray. We don't make our request known to God. How often do you request something from God? Is it something that you do daily? Is it something that we make a habit of in our lives? Now, I don't know about when you were being raised, but when I was being raised up, if I wanted to use the car on a Friday or Saturday night, I had to get up the courage to go and ask my dad, Dad, can I have the keys for the vehicle? I did not have a vehicle of my own. I had to request to use the family vehicle. I had to make a request in that regard. Now, you know how much a teenager wants to drive, right? But still, making that request is something that you kind of had to overcome, maybe a little fear or anxiety, you know, being afraid you're going to tell them, no, you can't use it, or something of that nature. But you have to learn to gather up the courage to make the request. If you never make the request, one thing for sure, you'll never get to drive the car if you never ask. You have to ask. It's the same thing with prayer. If we don't ask, then how are we going to receive? We have to be willing to ask. So since I wanted to drive the car, then I got up the courage to ask. And sure enough, you know, to my surprise, he actually let me drive the car. And so that's the way things can happen. We have to have the confidence. And the Hebrew writer speaks of having confidence in regard to our prayers over in Hebrews the fourth chapter, in verse 16. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, God's mercy is available to us, but we have to request, we have to be able to do that often enough that we develop confidence and we can come boldly to the throne of His grace. See, we cannot approach God with boldness unless we are used to doing it. We're used to coming to God in prayer. So then the more we do it, the more boldness we can have in doing it. Other words, each time I asked my dad for the keys, I was a little more confident. I'd have a little more boldness. I was more assured that he was going to grant that request. See, and that's the confidence, the boldness that we need to develop it. But the only way we can have that is to use it, is to pray. That's the only way we can have the confidence. If we use the blessings and the promises that God has given us about prayer. Now, God makes some promises about hearing and answering prayers, and in James the fifth chapter, in verse 16, he says, confess your trespasses or your faults to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God promises that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteousness avails much. The question is, are we righteous? Are we righteous? And if we're righteous, then we should be engaged in prayer. How much do we pray? How often do you think a righteous man prays? You want an example? Daniel, Old Testament. When did he pray? Morning, noon, and night. He prayed. He prayed three times daily. See, there's some examples for us to know that we need to be engaged in prayer. And if we pray to God, then we're going to be able to draw near to Him. In James, the fourth chapter, in verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If we draw near to God in prayer, then He's going to draw near to us. You know, Satan trembles when we, as Christians, take advantage of the promises of God in regard to prayer. In regard to prayer. Prayer gives us the ability to overcome those temptations. And if we don't feel close to God, maybe it's because we're not praying as we should. We're not communicating with God as often as we should. We have to draw near to Him, and He will certainly be willing then to draw near to us. Well, why pray? Why pray? So we can communicate. By nature, we desire to communicate with others. If you don't believe that, just look at the growth of all these companies that came up with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Look at the growth of those companies. You don't believe people like to communicate. Now, not that all that communication is proper and godly, but communication is important to people. They like to communicate, so they take advantage of all these things that they have access to communicate with others. Do we have the desire to communicate with God? We have an unlimited plan. There's no minutes, so we're not going to run out of data. God's there. He's available for us. Are we willing to communicate with Him? Well, why, you might say, well, why do I need to communicate with God? Why do I need to pray for God? The first thing is, we need to ask for wisdom. We need to pray and ask God for wisdom. Look over in James, the first chapter, verses 5 through 7. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. We can talk to God and we can ask God for wisdom. God, give me the wisdom that when I am tempted today, and I'll be tempted today, to look for the avenue for the way to escape. Give me that wisdom. To know what your word and your will would have me to do in every situation I might find myself in today. Is that something we can pray? Sure. We can ask God for wisdom. We can ask God to help us. We can talk to God and we can ask for peace. Turn over to Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah chapter 26. And look there in Isaiah 26 at verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is everlasting strength. So we can talk to God and we can ask for peace. And inner peace is available for all those who are willing to do what? Trust in the Lord. If we're willing to place our trust in the Lord, then we can be at peace. But it's only through talking and communicating that peace is made possible. When countries are at war and they want to end the war, what do they sit down and have? Peace talks. They talk about peace. When a husband and wife are having a difficulty or a situation that they need to discuss and they need to come to a conclusion of how they're going to handle it, what do they have to do? They have to talk about it. They have to talk about those things. If there's going to be a peaceful resolution to the discussion that's going on, they have to be willing to talk about it. So we need to understand, if we want to be at peace with God, we need to talk to Him about that. That we want to have the peace that passes understanding. We want to know we have the forgiveness of our sins, the hope of eternal life. We want to God to help us in fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold on eternal life and receiving that crown of life. All those things are things that we desire. Now, we can pray for peace in the world, and the book of Romans tells us, and in Romans the 12th chapter, and verse 18, that as much as possible, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So, first of all, we need to have inner peace if we're going to have peace with other people. But here, we can talk to God and ask for peace with our fellow man, and we can ask for Him to give us wisdom and how to go about obtaining a peaceful solution to problems that we might face. But here, the wisdom of God says, as much as depends on you, Christian, live peaceably with all men. Don't be looking for a fight. Don't be looking to pick a fight with someone. Look, if it's possible, live peaceably. Now, we have to stand for the truth. We have to take a stand for the truth, but we need to strive to live peacefully with other people. Another reason why we pray is so we can get our lives right with the Lord. Turn over to Psalms and to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, and let's look there beginning in verse 1 and going to read down through verse 11. Psalm 51, verse 1 through verse 11. And this is the psalmist of David after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. This is his prayer to God. David desired to make things right with God. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin and cleanse me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. You will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit away from me." So this is an example of us, given in the psalm, of David trying to make himself right with the Lord. He's repenting. He's acknowledging. He's confessing his sin. He's no longer trying to cover it up. He's acknowledging it now. And that's the point that we need to come to grips with sin in our life. We don't need to try to cover it up. We need to take care of it. And that's what David did. So as children of God, when we sin, we have this avenue of prayer that we can attain the forgiveness of our sins, and we can pray to be restored. Turn over to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, and I'm going to read down through chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, if we confess our sins, well, I'm back up to verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, that's not what David did. David did confess his sin. He did pray for forgiveness. He says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins," in other words, it's going to happen when we sin, "we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Jesus paid the price for you. He paid the price for me. And that price involved him shedding his blood. Shedding his blood so we can have forgiveness of sins. The restoration that's only available in Christ. So that's why we need to pray. That's why we need to pray. And we need to pray that God will be merciful to us. That God will have mercy upon us. Because we do not always make the best decisions in life. And from time to time, we're going to get caught in these bad decisions, and we're going to need to make things right with God. Look in Proverbs, the 28th chapter, and verse 13. See, once we sin, then we have to decide what we're going to do with that sin. Are we going to repent of that sin? Are we going to acknowledge that sin? Are we going to pray and ask forgiveness of that sin? Or are we going to try to cover it up? Look in Proverbs 28:13. "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." See, confesses and forsakes, that sounds like repentance, right? Turning away from it. That's exactly what we have to do. We pray because we need the mercy of God. Remember one of the shortest prayers in the Bible? Luke, the 8th chapter and verse 13, when it stated, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." You know, the Pharisee went down and prayed. You know, "God, I'm thankful I'm not like the so publican." All these things. The publican wouldn't even raise his eyes to heaven and said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." That's the attitude that we need to have. See, we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, we don't have to die in our sin. We can take advantage of eternal life. And as children of God, we need to understand that communication is very important. And if you think about it, communication is important in every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life. A home can't be successful without communication. School, business, any organization can't be successful without communication. We can't be successful as Christians without communicating to God. The thing we have to ask ourselves, are we taking advantage of the promises of God in regard to prayer? Are we taking advantage of these promises? Or we just let them slide by. I'm sure there is room for improvement in all of our lives in regard to prayer. That we can all improve in our prayer life. But we need to understand that this is a promise of God about how we communicate with Him. How we as His children receive forgiveness of sins. How we stay in fellowship with Him. How we walk in the light. How we follow the truth of His Word. How we are willing to submit to His will, or whether we're going to decide to rebel against us. If you quit communicating with God, if you quit praying, mark it down. You're on your way to falling away. You're going to be in rebellion against God. If you don't repent, if you don't see your situation and see the need to repent in your life. So, promises of God, prayer is something that's vital to us. Communication is something that's vital to us. God's communicated to us today through the gospel. It's the good news. We're sinners, but we don't have to die in our sin. Jesus came to prove, to give evidence through His miracles that He's the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Are you willing to confess your faith in Him? Are you willing to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? If you do that, God promises that all your sins will be forgiven. Your sins will be washed away. They'll be made as white as snow. And the Lord will add you to the church. Most here today have probably done that. So as a child of God, we have the opportunity to take advantage of this avenue of prayer. Are we doing it? If you're not, then you need to pray to God right where you're sitting and ask God to forgive you, and that you want to draw closer to Him. You want to be nearer to Him. The only way to do that is to communicate with Him and to acknowledge Him. If you desire for us as brethren to pray with you and for you, we'd be glad to do that. If you have any need, make that known while we stand and sing the song of invitation that's been selected.